Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Double Take Podcast. I am Mark, and on today's show, Terrence and I are taught to be nice. As you may have heard, there's a remake of Roadhouse being released, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. We thought this would be a good time to run through the original classic movie starring Patrick Swayze. So join us as we stop by the Double Deuce for some beers, boobs, and brawls.
Can I buy you guys a drink? Guess not.
Patrick Swayze is...
Dalton.
I thought you'd be... bigger.
Opinions vary.
When he's around, anything can happen.
How's a guy like you end up a bouncer?
Just lucky, I guess.
And usually does.
If somebody gets in your face, I want you to be nice.
Don't be rude!
Ask him to walk, but be nice.
Help this gentleman to the door.
Until it's time to not be nice.
So says the fighting philosopher.
He may be hard to handle.
I keep talking, you're gonna go off thinking I'm a nice guy.
I know you're not a nice guy.
But he's easy to like.
What's the matter, Dalton? Don't you like women?
The worst I ever had was wonderful.
He's not what you'd expect.
I thought you'd be bigger.
But there's one thing you can count on. He's the best friend a good time ever had.
Aren't you guys tired?
Doc, I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead.
This is my time. I'm not afraid of him.
I guess you'll be having that fire sale now, all right?
You got your hands full, kid.
I just think I'm looking at a dead man.
Patrick Swayze.
For that line of work, I thought you'd be bigger.
Gee, I've never heard that before.
Roadhouse.
Welcome to the Double Take. We're flying solo because it's two of us, but no special guest today. We got 100% Terrence and 100% Mark. No distractions from any other, you know, schleps or whoever's coming. But we have Patrick Swayze all to ourselves today. We, of course, are talking about Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, this is just an awesome movie. Anybody that's seen this movie? First off, I got to apologize. My voice is a little rough. I got in a bar brawl last night, but I'm happy to be here. Pain don't hurt, Mark. So.
was that the one you and Pete were in last night?
Yes. Oh, Pete, we scrap it up all the time. Yeah, you should see the other guys.
I love it. You know, Roadhouse, we wanted to kind of fast track this movie, not because we felt like we had to rush it, but because coming out soon is they're doing a remake of this movie with another great actor, Jake Gyllenhaal. And I'm not a huge...
You're not talking about Conor McGregor, the great actor?
Well, that's to be seen.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah,
we'll find out. But, you know, we love Jake, but I'm not sure how I feel about remakes. You know, I'm going to watch it because the premise is going to be there. And Jake's a good actor. Anything he's in is, you know, pretty solid, right? So we wanted to get in, remind everybody of the original, and here we are. This is Roadhouse. This is with Patrick Swayze and really a bunch of nobodies.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part. I mean, Sam Elliott obviously is a legend, but, you know, he's a small role in this. But so, yeah, Roadhouse, man. Let's do it. So first off, this movie, I don't know if I'd call this a cult classic. I think it has a cult following. I think people that love it, but I don't know if I'm ready to call it a cult classic. That's just
It's got a little more mainstream appeal than some of the ones we've done that like were total flops and then years later got reappraised. So yeah, I think Roadhouse. Most if you go up to people that are into movies at all and you're like, "Hey, Roadhouse," they're like, "Yes, Roadhouse." Is
of
awesome.
Course. Yeah. I'd say this is a Patrick Swayze classic. Like this.
Yes.
This was peak Patrick Swayze, and he doesn't disappoint in this movie.
No.
That's my overall thoughts on this film. I mean, after rewatching it, I mean, we could get into some reasons why. I don't know how this holds up for me. This was from 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining, and I watched it. But what I realized going through it was there is more downtime in this movie than I initially remembered. You know, like there's a couple of just drawn out scenes. Like they probably could have trimmed out a few minutes here and there on this.
You're pretty much biding your time until you get to the next fight in this movie. It's all about the fights.
Yeah, there you go. And the fighting was fantastic.
Yeah.
The choreography was great, you know. But anyway, so that's where we're at with with this movie. So, you know, not to take anything away from it, but what I noticed currently streaming on Max, the description describes it as a, you know, a bouncer's hired to clean up a honky tonk bar. And I'm like, what does honky tonk mean?
Yeah.
Actually. So I looked it up and it means a cheap bar or nightclub. And then I started thinking again, like, why would you ever watch wrestling back in the 90s, you know, or Honky Tonk Man? Like, what's that name come from? I thought, like, because he used to dress up as Elvis, and I was
confused. That's like, I know, like, old country songs would have, like a honky-tonk bar. Like,
yeah, maybe there's multiple meanings. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, like, honky-tonk's a sound. I don't know. So if anyone knows what their version of honky-tonk is.
Yeah, you know? I'm not from the South originally, so this was an acquired word for me. I didn't always have that one in my vocabulary.
Yeah. You know, maybe country songs. I don't know. Anyways, so this movie did it did about 60 million in theaters, but then it did another about 150 in like DVD and VHS sales. So yeah, but overall it ended up at about 200 million like with DVD and VHS sales, which, you know, that's my point, where it's a cult following, because 1989 you had less options for movies, I guess you could say, or less you had good variety of films, as we talk about. You know, there was no superhero movies, so there was one. It was number one that year, but that's where it started.
The Batman?
It was
the
Batman.
First one, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the Michael Keaton Batman is number one. So number one was Batman. Number two, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. My personal favorite, Indiana Jones. So Lethal Weapon 2 was number three. Rain Man, number four. And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay.
Fifth grossing movie in 1989.
When you got through the top four there, I was going to say, we've got a theme of just sweaty guys kicking ass is like the top of the box office there. Moved off it a little bit with the next two, but those are good classics themselves.
So not a bad year for movies. Like if you look through the list of movies from 89, there's a lot of other good movies that came out. So we'll probably end up doing some of those, I think, because there's some movies that I think do hold up.
Yeah.
And I want an excuse to rewatch them, and then we can talk about them.
Well, speaking of excuse to rewatch, I mean, it had been a few years since I've seen Roadhouse. I've seen it multiple times, obviously. And it's one of those we talk about, like, the whole reason for this podcast is movies that make you want to watch them again and movies that you love coming back to. This is a movie, like, it's not the kind of movie where it's going to win any awards for the acting or the writing or the directing or anything. It's just put it out there. Just have a good time. Like, get your popcorn. There's crazy over-the-top fight scenes, like we'll talk about. They do all their own fighting and stunts, which I think really helps it. It's not like a bunch of – there's no CGI. There's no stunt guys doing things that the actors couldn't pull off. Like, it's all right there. Like, Swayze is actually, like, kicking the crap out of guys. They're hitting him. Like, they got knives. They got guns. It's a good turn your brain off and just sit back and enjoy the show kind of movie. So those movies are always good to come back to, even if they're not necessarily the most robust plot or the best directed movies.
I think there was one or two scenes that maybe required not CGI, but more like not even special effects really, because it was like 80s stunt coordination. It was like old school movie making, which we'll get to in just a little bit. And there's a couple scenes that
I think I know which ones you mean.
Yeah, you probably do. You probably do. Yeah. So why don't you tell me a minute about the director? So Rowdy Harrington, do you have any information on this cat?
Yeah, this is really the only super well-known movie. I think it's the only one of his that I've seen. I looked him up. He did a movie called Striking Distance with Bruce Willis, and then Gladiator. Not that Gladiator. He did it. It was a boxing movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. That I somehow haven't seen, because I'm down for any boxing movie. I don't care if it's good, bad, or otherwise. So I might have to seek that out now. But yeah, this seemed to be like his one big claim to fame. So it's not like some of the other movies we've done where it's like just like kind of one piece in a long storied career. It's like this is what he's known for, is Roadhouse. And with a name like Rowdy, feels like it's appropriate.
Yeah. So those two movies you mentioned, I've seen both those.
Okay, great.
I'm actually a big fan of Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
It's got Sarah Jessica Parker's in there, which I'm not a huge fan of her, but he's typical Bruce Willis in this. You know, it came out around the same time as The Last Boy Scout.
Okay.
Probably a little before that, I think. And he's just, you know, it was Bruce Willis doing Bruce Willis things.
Yeah, I saw that, like, when I was looking up what Rowdy Harrington had done, there was the poster or whatever online, and it was Bruce Willis with a gun. And I was like, that's probably a good movie. Like, yeah. That's all I need to know.
He's a disgraced cop, and he's end up, like, he's like Pittsburgh water police or something.
Okay.
He just doesn't give a shit. And he was under investigation. It
seems like
a good
role for Bruce Willis.
Yeah. And Gladiator is very similar. Gladiator was more of like fisticuff boxing.
Okay.
So it had, you have seen in A Few Good Men, the white dude that's on trial who gave the code red.
Yeah.
He's the other guy in that with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Okay.
And it has Brian.
Oh, Dennehy. Yeah. What? James Marshall, is that his name? I remember
if
seeing
If you say so.
I know his face. Yeah.
But Brian Dennehy is in that as well. Like he's the antagonist, I guess. And that's, you know. But anyway, so not great movies by any means. But I don't know if Gladiator will ever make the double take. But Striking Distance, possibly, maybe, if someone convinces me that it was great.
Okay.
So I like it. I'm willing to do it. But
if we're able to keep this thing going for a few years, we might get to it eventually.
Yeah. If we run out of things, we'll maybe we'll add it. But anyway, so this movie stars Patrick Swayze, the Swayze, right? Rest in peace, this guy. This is peak Swayze, as I was saying. He's great in this movie. For what it is. Like you said, it's not going to win any awards for his acting, but he's just a cool cat. Girls want to be with him. Guys want to be him. You know, I don't know another way to describe what he does in this. He's just being himself.
Yeah, and it's right in the middle of his, like, peak run. He's got this. He did Dirty Dancing a couple of years before. Point Break was coming a couple of years after. What am I forgetting? One of the huge ones. Ghost came, like, a year after this. So he had those four just top movies that he was kind of the biggest star in the world.
He had four leading up to this movie, right? So if you've seen The Outsiders in 83, he did Red Dawn in 84.
That's right.
So Red Dawn was, I mean, that movie's great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that holds up either, but another one that they remade, of course, that he was not in. But you ever seen Youngblood?
I think way back when, but yeah, I don't remember it.
Hockey movie, him and Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
The uncredited first appearance of Keanu Reeves. He was the goalie in Youngblood. So
that leading up to Point Break there.
Yeah, like of course. That. Yep. And then Dirty Dancing you mentioned. He's probably mostly known for Dirty Dancing. Ghost was another one he did, that romantic whatever. but then, yeah, you got Point Break. You know, beyond Point Break, though. So he did – I mean, he's been in movies. Like, he's done, you know, plenty of things. But he – the Patrick Swayze that you know and love ended at Point Break, in my opinion. After that, there wasn't a lot of
he reached his peak, and then he wasn't really like A-list star after. He was still like beloved, I think, in Hollywood.
And
obviously with the fans and everything. But yeah, he didn't get those huge roles where he was kind of the main driver of the movie that he was in.
Well, there was a show that I watched with him, and it was the last show he did. It was called The Beast.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know if he died filming it or right after.
I don't think I'm aware of it. What was it about?
It was actually a really good show. You ever see the show Vikings? Travis Fimmel was the main Ragnar. So he's in it. It's like he's his rookie partner. He's like an FBI agent or a cop or something. Patrick Swayze's character is under investigation. Everyone thinks he's a dirty cop, but he's just getting shit done. You know what I mean? Travis Fimmel, who's his partner, is learning from him, but he's being approached to like kind of rat him out a little bit. It's like, is he ratting him out? Is he not ratting him out? Like, what's he doing? It's only one season. It's probably maybe 12 episodes. I'm not even sure where it's streaming right now, but.
And did it not even wrap up because of.
I don't recall.
Okay.
I want to go back through and check it out again because I'm afraid to watch it again because my memory of it is like, oh, this is a great show. Because I like Travis Fimmel as an actor too. Like, he's just a cool cat. I don't remember how it ended, but in 2009, there wasn't really much, like, I don't think it was any streaming services or that wasn't the main piece. So if you didn't catch it on TV, you missed it.
Right.
If you didn't DVR it, you know, you don't know what's happening. So I'll have to look that up and see what that is. But that's the last thing I remember of Patrick Swayze as far as his movie. He turned down, they wanted him to do a sequel to Dirty Dancing. And he was like, nah. I'm good. He turned down like $6 million to do a Dirty Dancing sequel.
Jeez.
So he didn't want to do that. But then he turned up in the Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Okay.
I don't know if you.
I'm not.
I'll say, has your wife seen that? Has she made you watch that?
Maybe. I don't even think she has. You know what? This is kind of sacrilegious. I know this isn't typically like thought of as like a guy's movie, but seeing as Patrick Swayze is awesome, I should have seen it. I actually have not seen the original Dirty Dancing. My wife and I saw like a musical stage production of it over at the DPAC over here.
Oh, nice.
A few years ago. But I actually haven't seen the original, which I don't know why, because I don't care if it's like it's thought of as like a girl's movie or whatever like that. Like Patrick Swayze is always good. Jennifer Grey is amazing. We've talked about her with Ferris Bueller. Yeah, I got to get to that one of these days. But I've seen his other big ones.
Yeah, he made a little cameo in that movie is what I hear. I didn't watch Havana Nights, but he shows up as the same character as like a dance instructor or something like that. So just a couple other fun facts about Mr. Swayze. He turned down the role of Cash in Tango and Cash.
Yes.
You see that? So that was Kurt Russell's role.
Yeah.
You know, to do Roadhouse.
Because he was doing this, yeah. And Predator 2 I saw also that he turned it down.
Yes.
I think what I read was that he was kind of so beat up and needed to recover from this movie that he couldn't do, like they were about to film Predator 2, so he had to not take that role, and Danny Glover ended up doing it instead.
They wanted him to have his own cologne back in the day.
Okay.
It was going to be called Patrick.
Fitting.
Yeah, so they approached him with a cologne and posters and all different things, and he's just like, that's ridiculous. He's like, I'm not doing any of that. And he could have made millions doing it, but he was just like, I'm good. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I like that because he was a regular dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that he, you know, liked the fame, so to speak.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. Like, he seemed like he was kind of above it all. Like, he wasn't just throwing himself into every role he could get, like cash grab kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah. Because
if you think about when we talked about the movies he did, and you say, okay, the last one you might remember seeing him in is, you know, Point Break was 91. You know, there's a lot of movies from 91 until 2000.
And I'm sure they would have loved to put Patrick Swayze on a movie poster, and that would have gotten a lot of butts in the seats just itself.
Now I want to go back through all these movies and be like, where could we have inserted Swayze in this role? Like,
yeah.
What could he have done? Because he was in movies. He's in like Black Rain and different things he was in. But I don't know how he picked his movies, if it was just convenient for his filming time, or I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe he's hard to work with. Maybe we don't know anything about him and we're making shit up here.
It's quite possible. It's okay.
In 1991, he beat out Pete for People's Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
Yes, the results are still being contested on that one.
Yep, Pete is not happy about that. But anyways, so we said this movie was a bunch of nobodies along with him. I mean, we have Sam Elliott, who you love Sam Elliott, right?
Anytime he shows up in anything.
Yeah.
He's so great.
This was pre-mustache Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
He was just scruffy.
Pretty scruffy looking, but yeah, not the huge handlebar. But yeah, he's. I mean, everybody knows Sam Elliott. He's been in all kinds of Westerns and Big Lebowski and A Star is Born more recently. He's always great. So yeah, when he shows up about midway through the movie, it's like, all right, now we've got somebody that can not necessarily stand up to Swayze, like as far as them being antagonists towards each other or whatever, but it's like, okay, we've got a second big name that we can hang this movie on.
Yeah, you need to have that. Other actors that can act, and it makes the first actor good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you ever watch The Ranch?
The show? No. He's in that, I know. But yeah, I haven't seen that. Netflix, right?
Yeah, not horrible. Not horrible. I've watched the first couple seasons.
That's a great recommendation.
I mean, it's not great. If it's
check it out. It's not
Ashton
horrible.
Ashton Kutcher in there, and the other dude from that 70s show who got kicked off the show for some sort of allegations.
Danny Masterson is
there.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they were going with that. I thought they canceled the show after that, but I think they kept it rolling because they liked doing it. But I forget the other girl's name. She was in The Girl Next Door, blonde girl. She was in 24.
Oh, Alicia Cuthbert?
That's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to be in love with her back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
24 days.
Yeah, she still looks good in this, too. So it might be. Maybe it's worth checking out.
Okay.
Because of that. You know, so Sam Elliott shows up in, did you watch 1883?
No, I haven't gotten into the whole Yellowstone.
You're not in the Yellowstone
universe. Yeah, at this point, it's just so daunting. There's so many shows, and there's Yellowstone 1883. There's the one with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, and they just keep expanding it. So at this point, I'm like, I don't know how I'm ever going to catch up, so I don't know if I'll ever get into it.
I would recommend running through Yellowstone. Yellowstone's a good show.
Yeah.
But there's so Taylor Sheridan is the creator of the show, and he shows up in Yellowstone. He's a reoccurring character.
Sam Elliott. Does.
No,
that what you're saying?
Taylor Sheridan.
Oh, okay.
So he makes a reference to Sam Elliott in Yellowstone about Roadhouse, saying how Sam Elliott has the best hair ever in any movie. And then I thought that was cool because Sam Elliott is in 1883.
Yeah.
Which is another Taylor Sheridan show.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Damn.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah, yeah. So as I'm watching this and I'm watching Sam Elliott's hair, and I'm like, he really does have cool hair. Like, I don't know that, I mean, I could never pull that off, but
yeah,
he pulls it off. He's got long gray hair, like always in his face. He's always moving it. It's,
yeah. You know, and he's like the Marlboro man. Like, he's just like the rugged,
yeah,
Western, like riding on a horse, shooting a gun, punching somebody in the face. Like, it's like a man's man.
Getting the girl, you know?
Yeah. It's like the women want him, men want to be him kind of.
That's
guy.
It. That's it. He's an older version of Swayze in this, which is what they're going for, you know? Anyway, so the rest of the cast, kind of a bunch of goofballs. Ben Gazzara, whatever. He's been in over 100 movies, but in my opinion,
I know him as one thing. And it's the first thing I thought. I definitely saw Roadhouse before watching The Big Lebowski because it came out much later. I love The Big Lebowski. It's one of my favorite movies ever. But he is Jackie Treehorn in The Big Lebowski, like the porn producer. And he's got a pretty small role, but he's really amazing in that. And so I watch his whole movie. He's Wesley. He's the villain of this movie. But the whole time I'm seeing him, I'm just thinking Jackie Treehorn.
Yeah, yeah. Besides that, I mean, I had that as well. But he's nothing jumps out at me. It's like, wow, what a great actor. He's serviceable in the things he's in. He just kind of shows up and does his role. You got Kelly Lynch, who plays, you know, the doctor, Dr. Clay. She's the same thing. She was in Cocktail for a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's been in some stuff, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, not a huge career or anything like that. And you know, pretty much nobody else. Like, there's a couple of people you maybe recognize that you've seen. I know Tillman, the guy that brings Dalton, Patrick Swayze's character, like that hires him to the owner of the Double Deuce. I know him as Locke's dad in Lost, if anybody out there is a big Lost fan, the TV show.
That's right.
That's what I recognize him from. But yeah, most of the other cast is not huge names, not super recognizable.
Yeah, I like how Jeff Healey was in this. He's the musician.
Yeah. The blind guitarist.
Because he's got some good music, and I didn't realize how many scenes he's actually in. I thought he just played a couple songs.
Yeah, he's got a pretty big part.
He does, yeah.
And the music is really good. One of the first things that struck me, like the first scene when he gets to the Double Deuce, is like Jeff Healey and his band are playing, and they've got like a cage of chicken wire around them because all the rowdy patrons are chucking beers and cursing at him and doing... They're really good. The music is really, really good. And everybody's such a piece of crap that they're giving them a hard time anyway. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Like, this, what else do you want from your honky-tonk bar here? This is some good music. But they're just chucking beer bottles and nobody's safe.
So I went into this movie asking myself, I'm like, okay, speaking of Jeff Tillman or I think his name, whatever his name is, where does this guy get his money from? Because Double Deuce isn't making any money.
No, he says like he's poured all his money into it to make it better. Yeah.
Well, there's a line where he says he's come into some money, and that's what I didn't catch that the first whatever dozens of time I've seen this movie. So, but I caught it on the rewatch, and I was like, all right, they never elaborate, but I'm like, this seems like a lost cause to me. Like, you're in this small town run by a tyrant, and you're dumping money into the one bar. Apparently,
why do you want it? We'll get into this. Like, I don't understand anybody's motivation in this movie, but why do you choose to set up shop there in this horrible town run by this like supervillain basically that just has everybody under his thumb, and like your patron, like, is it just to make yourself feel good, like, do you have a respectable business that you rehabilitated this place, because like all your customers are like the lowest scum in the world? Like, who are you doing this for?
Let's dive into that. Right, so that's how it starts. Right, so he's the owner of the Double Deuce, shows up to out of a limo, he's dressed nice, he clearly has money.
Yeah, it's a place in New York where Patrick Swayze is, and I think they must have cut something here. I don't know what happened, because this happened so quick. He just offers Dalton, Patrick Swayze, offers to hire him. He wants him, he knows he's the best, and that makes me wonder, like, what kind of chatter is going on behind the scenes that, like, this bouncer is known, like, the world over as the greatest bouncer ever? Like, right. I don't know.
What newsletter are you getting?
Yeah. This was before there was any online message board, maybe, for any Reddit group for bouncers, anything. I don't know. Like, how did word get around that, like, of all the bouncers, this is the guy you want, and, like, you hire him at any cost? So he shows up. He tells Patrick Swayze, I want you. I'll pay you whatever you want. Patrick Swayze's like, yeah, give me $5,000. $500 a night, and you got to cover all my medical expenses, which I thought was kind of stealth funny line. Just like, you know, you're going to get beat up. You're going to be battered and bruised and cut and everything in this job. And Patrick Swayze's like, all right, yeah, I'm in. And he just drops where he's going and
leaves on the
heads
spot.
Out to Missouri from New York just on a lark. So, yeah, I feel like I missed something there of like, why did he take this job, like sight unseen? And why did he just move halfway across the country?
Well, was Mr. T not available to come bounce? I mean, picture Mr. T bouncing on the Double Deuce, right? The sole black guy in town.
Yeah.
No one's messing with him.
No,
you know,
dude, I don't know.
Shows up with the mohawk and chains. No.
Well, Mr. T obviously has his own intimidating aura and everything, but like Patrick Swayze's no joke. And it just constantly throughout the movie, guys are like, "Oh yeah, I've been waiting to take you on," and like then they just get the crap kicked out of him as a result. So nobody really learns their lesson. So I don't know. I think if Mr. T or Arnold Schwarzenegger or anybody else was the bouncer, these scraggly rednecks would still be like, yes, this is my chance.
I think the intimidation factor is what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, and that's what everyone looks at me like, hey, I thought you'd be bigger. You stick something bigger.
Oh, yeah, he hears
there.
That like 3 or 4 times throughout the movie. Like, yeah. I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah, so he gets in there. So he recruits him, gets him to the bar. I was pointing out the same thing, too, where he had like the band's playing in this MMA-style cage, you know, to avoid the beer bottles being tossed at him, right? Just a horrible, horrible environment.
Yeah.
You know?
The guy's blind. There's no compassion for him just for that, right. Let alone just that, like, he's there to entertain you and, like, give him a little respect that he's providing your entertainment for the evening. He's like, no, they don't care. Just
I like the speech he gives. You know, they do this, like, the staff meeting.
Yes.
Right. So you get the staff meeting at the beginning, and he's kicking people out, like, you're fired, you're dealing drugs, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You know? And so he does his three rules, which these are the sort of, I don't want to say infamous rules, but they're kind of infamous rules, right? Don't underestimate your opponent, take it outside, and be nice.
Yeah.
There's your three things.
Until it's time not be nice.
There's a New York police department that uses the
I saw this. Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to bring it up or not. Yeah, they use that as like part of their training video or something.
I think it's like a retraining. I think they when people do something wrong, like officers do something wrong, and they have to go through like a corrective course or something.
That never happens, Mark. How could you say
that? Well, that's true, too. Occasionally, maybe some officers get rough.
Yeah.
So there you go. You got to be nice. Please be nice. But yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Those are just things that, you know, you don't expect to hear from a bouncer or a cooler, as they call him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's kind of the head of the bouncers. He's the cooler.
I wonder what the resume looks like when you're a professional cooler.
I think it's really just like there. You survived. It's like you list all the jobs you have and yes, I'm still alive. I made it out. I don't know what else you can say.
Must have medical records with you, you know, yeah. Things like that.
But yeah, let's get into a little bit like that first scene when he goes to the Double Deuce. We can't just skip over that. Like, they do a great job of just showing you just how much work this place needs, because you just see all the worst people in the world. It's like there's fights happening all over. People, like, at the drop of a hat are brandishing knives on each other. Like, there's attempted murder. There's sexual assault happening all over. All the women, I don't understand why any woman would ever go to this place. They're just getting grabbed and felt up and thrown. The one woman gets kicked off a chair. The guy, like, kicks her. She backflips off the chair. So I don't know why anybody shows up to this place at all. So they show you right away Dalton's got his work cut out for him to get this place turned around.
And the cool thing is he walks in there all Captain Cool, you know.
Just observing.
He's got his whatever. He's definitely overdressed to be in such a place, you know, because he has sleeves. That's the first part, right? He can't have sleeves to be at the Double Deuce. But yeah, you're right. That's a good way to put that. Like, you see what kind of work he has cut out for him, and he's got a lot. Even the owner, I like when the owner walks in and it's like, for a great fuck call, this.
It changes it to changes a Buick. Yeah. That was pretty ingenious. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. But anyway, so he now he takes over. Now he's trying to weed out the dead stuff. A character I like, I don't remember the actor's name, but I like Red, he runs the auto parts store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked him. He was one of those side characters, I think, that he doesn't have a lot of responsibility in this movie, but he delivers what he is. Because everyone needs a friend like that. Like, he's just the old guy with the beard. He runs the shop. And he's like, oh, how'd you end up here? He's like, I married an ugly woman.
Yeah, he's like, what is that? Like, sucks the life right out of you. Don't let that happen to you. and then I love that he finishes it with, she left me for, like, someone even uglier than she was.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Did you read about what his deal was, that guy, Red? His name's actually Red in real life, too. He was like in with Elvis Presley, like his manager or something.
I think it was a bodyguard.
Bodyguard, something like that. Yeah, that's kind of how he got into the entertainment industry in Hollywood. And apparently they had some kind of falling out. And then he got a few roles on his own afterwards. So yeah, that was interesting.
I liked him. I liked him as a character. And some of the detail they show in this movie, I shouldn't say some of the detail, unexpected detail because it was a lower budget, but there's one scene where everyone's at his house after his place catches on fire.
Uh-huh.
And his name is actually on the mailbox. It says like R. Webster.
Oh, okay.
That's his name in the, good in the catch. Show. And I was, it kind of stood out and I'm like, they didn't have to put that in there. They could have just removed the mailbox altogether. But a nice error would have been if it said like, you know, J. Smith, you know, like they just needed to film something somewhere.
Well,
you know?
I did see that there was one point somebody had pointed out that, so the movie takes place in Missouri. That's where the Double Deuce is supposed to be. Yeah. Jasper, Missouri, it's called. But it was filmed kind of half in Chicago and half in L.A. or California.
California, yeah.
And at one point when Dalton is outside talking to somebody, you can see a sign behind him that says, like, Los Angeles this way, Bakersfield this way. So it was one of those you got to, like, freeze the frame and catch it kind of things. But, yeah, so they had a little bit of continuity.
There was a couple scenes where you see mountains in
yes.
the background as
and
well.
That was the same part, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, most of the time they had to come up with the fight choreography. It wasn't – we weren't sweating the small stuff on the rest of it.
Yeah.
So you got to excuse a few things that slipped by.
It's only idiots like us that are tracking down these little faux pas, you know. Yeah. What I find in these movies, right, is that, you know, because we mentioned how this film was filled with a bunch of nobodies. You know, most of these movies, they don't – like this whole era, they don't give the bad guys a face. Right. If you watch a movie nowadays, you're going to have a villain that's probably another famous actor.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get, you know, like an Edward Norton or something playing a villain. And you're like, oh, man, like this is going to be good. And that's what makes that movie better. This movie, you have Brad Wesley. Right. Like, who are you? Who cares? Like, why would I root for you? You have his little henchman guy who's, you know, oh, look at you with your little.
Just a motley crew. He's got this just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obese guy. He's got these guys that. They don't seem to be able to handle themselves in a fight. They're getting the crap kicked out of them all movie.
And you can't root for the villain in that way, which you're not supposed to. But I think a good, complete movie, you can root for the villain a little more and say, all right, what's his motivations? And, you know, and we'll get into Wesley's villain scale and, you know, towards the end here. But, yeah, it's just they're just easy to hate is what it comes down to, you know.
I will give him credit because I said at the beginning that I don't understand the motivation of really anybody in this movie, why they're doing what they're doing. His I at least get, even if it's super evil. He's like, all right, I'm going to control this town. I'm going to get rich by just taking money from every business owner. And anybody crosses me, I'm going to have my goons beat them up or light their place on fire. Like, at least I understand his motivation, even if it is completely horrible. So I'll give him credit for that.
He's got the Jasper Improvement Society. I mean, you got to donate to this on a monthly basis.
Yeah, it's like the mini mafia he's running out there in nowhere, Missouri.
But, you know, then I was thinking, too, that how many towns do we know that has a dude that just drives a monster truck around town, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever seen The Righteous Gemstones, the HBO show. Actually, talking about Pete, me and Pete watched that together.
Okay.
It's got John Goodman, and there's a bunch of people you recognize in it. But they've got a big monster truck in that they're crushing things all the time with. It made me think of that because we just recently finished watching it.
Are they just cruising around town in it, though? Like, is
no,
it street legal?
No, not at all. It's like the whole premise of the show, it's like one of these mega churches, and it's like poking fun at like these, like Joel Osteen, like pastor, like these people that are like millionaire, billionaires that are kind of capitalizing on the whole religious aspect of things. But yeah, they've got a monster truck called the Redeemer that they take out sometimes.
Okay.
They're crushing cars and they got the flames going on. It's very over the top and ridiculous, but it's still not as over the top and ridiculous as the way they deployed the monster truck in this movie, which I guess we could get into now if you want.
So this is what I figured out from, you know, leading up to this movie. This is where you see Swayze's character kind of change a little bit, right? So he's hired for a job and in his mind, it's another town, same bullshit, right? I'm going to go in, spend a month or whatever, clean it up, get my money, and get out of there.
Yeah, he knows he's not in it for a long time.
Right, there's no roots. He's not getting emotionally attached to anybody. Like, that's his plan going into this. And then as soon as he meets, like, with Wesley, which I think was after the fire.
Well, he first sees him, I think, in Red's store, right? Dalton's in there, and then Wesley comes in, and that's when he kind of realizes, oh, he's shaking him down to take part of his profits and everything.
Yeah, but when he goes to Wesley's house for the first time and he tries to buy him out, or he's, yeah, you know, Wesley's calling him out, but like, oh, I heard you killed a man down here. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, like, you just, you see a switch flip in Swayze. He's like, it's no longer about me just bouncing in this town.
Yeah.
It's now
I got to stop this guy.
Exactly. Right. Now he's suddenly turned into Swayze, the superhero that saves the town.
And that's just one of the dumb things Wesley does. It's like, you've got a good thing going here. Your evil empire is thriving. You got everybody under your thumb. And now, like, the baddest dude on the planet is here, and you're poking the bear. Why are you doing that? Like, maybe lay low for a month, let him leave town, and then resume your operations again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he asked for it, and he gets it.
Yeah, he definitely got it. He definitely got it. So he flips that script a little bit. You know, this is where Sam Elliott now comes in, because Wesley owns the liquor, right? So now he's got another liquor route that's going to come in here. And but, yeah, I love Sam Elliott's – I love every scene that he's in.
Yeah.
Like, he's just – he kind of steals each scene, in my opinion, because he's just, like you said, like that cowboy guy that just, you know, he's just super cool. You know,
yeah,
I'll never be that guy, but, you know.
Yeah, it looks like Dalton's on the verge of actually losing a fight, which he never has before. They got the three of them, have him, like, when the alcohol delivery is happening, and Garrett, Elliot's character, comes back there and just basically saves the day, kicks the hell out of everybody, and, yeah, turns out good in the end. But, yeah, he's... You're right. Every time he shows up, it's like, all right, the movie just went up a notch.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And he says something too. So they start flashing back a little bit to what happened with Swayze's character killing a guy. You know, and it goes, someone puts a gun in your face, you got two choices. It's like, you kill him or you die.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I think there might be a few other options.
Yeah, he simplifies things a bit, yeah.
So, but that was kind of foretelling for later in the show when he, you know, someone pulls a gun on him later and he makes that choice. You know what I mean? What I didn't get was, at one point, Wesley shows up to the bar again with all his goons, right? The bar semi-cleaned up, things are going good. And then his little Jimmy Grunt guy comes down with a pool cue.
Oh my God, it seems crazy.
It's so stupid, right? So why would Swayze's character, like, let him have this pool? Like, what are you trying to start? You see him come down with a pool cue.
Yeah.
And he's like, taunting the bouncers, and Swayze gives the nod, like, yeah, go ahead, fight him. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Why would you do that?
He basically is Donatello from Ninja Turtles. He's twirling this thing around, flipping it, knocking guys out. And like, Swayze's crew is, like, he cleans the place up, and he gets it to a point of respectability. But, like, they're not the most intimidating guys. He's got that big kind of doofy guy that he kind of relies on. And, like, he does have a chance against this guy, who's obviously is some kind of martial art expert. So, yeah, he wipes the floor with him. He, like, uses the pool cue to pole vault up on the stage. It's a crazy, unhinged scene.
Yeah. But I don't understand why Swayze would let that happen, right? You're trying, like, his whole thing is, we'll take it outside.
Yeah.
And now you, no, and now this crazy fight's there. People throwing chairs at the behind the bar in the mirror. And it's just like, come on, man.
That goes back to Tillman, like, why he did this, why he chose to try to rehabilitate this business in this town. Like, every night, like, people are throwing chairs, they're breaking glass, there's the amount of property damage alone has to sink you completely in the red. Like, so I don't know what the motivation is there. But yeah, they just let that happen right there in the middle of the double deuce.
I don't know how many times you've thrown a chair in a bar, but
not since last night.
I mean, there you go. It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
It's been 200 days since my last chair throw, you know. But, you know, I think a better business in this town is going to be like a furniture store, right?
Yeah, constantly you know, having to replace
you're selling tables and chairs. You're making money off the double deuce, that's for sure. You get them on retainer, you know. But, you know, like I said, so this goes through. He gets mad. He's now he definitely hates Wesley. He's trying to do his thing. What I didn't like how they killed off Sam Elliott's character.
Yeah, you know, that was rough. That,
it was kind of weak. They didn't, like, you don't actually ever see him getting beat up or killed. He just kind of comes in the door all bloody. And then the next scene, he's got a knife in him. And it's like, what? Like, who?
Yeah, it's not really satisfying at all. Like, Dalton is on the phone with Wesley, and he's like, I'm going to either kill Garrett or Doc, the love interest. And so Swayze takes off. And yeah, Garrett stumbles in. He's kind of been in a fight. Like, he survived the fight. He probably beat them up real bad, too. But he's hurting. So Dalton leaves him there at the bar. And when he comes back, he finds his body on the bar with a knife through his heart and the a piece of paper that just says it was tails.
Yeah.
Like, he flipped a coin for it. So, yeah, it's not the most satisfying payoff for probably the best character in the movie.
Swayze doesn't have a lot of one-liners, right? And he tries to do one. It doesn't come out super well, but so he takes the knife right? And then he ends up at Wesley's house, and you see he throws the knife at somebody. You see the guy pick it up and puts it back in the case. So you know it was his knife.
Yeah.
He's the one that killed him. A few minutes later, he stabs the guy with the knife, and he's like, it was Tails again.
You know? Yeah.
It didn't have the same punch.
Well, you know what? They made the interesting decision to make Dalton, like he mentions to the doctor that he was a philosophy major at NYU. Mm. And it's like not your typical just like brawny, badass, beat him up kind of guy. So like they did that. And then they had little things in there where like, yeah, maybe he's not the best with the one liner. Yes, he fights, but like he's not just like charge ahead, use his strength. You see him practicing Tai Chi or whatever that is in the back. Like he's more in touch with his spiritual side, I guess you'll say. But yeah, so he's not the typical action hero that's just going to, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just like drop a guy off a building and then say a funny line.
Yeah. Oh, I had to let him go. You know? Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He lost his head or something. Yeah.
I'm taller.
Yeah, that's right. From speed.
Now he's rushing to the house. He's going to like, okay, time to kill this crew and this guy and do what he's got to do. Oh, you know what? No, before that, he fights the henchman.
Yeah.
They send him to, he stays at this this guy's house. I forget.
Emmett, the old farmer guy.
Yeah. So he burns his house, and then you see the guy driving away laughing in his ATV or whatever, like, you know, the evil cackle.
So over the top.
Completely, right? So now him and Swayze leading up to this, so these two guys fight. And I thought that fight actually was really well done.
It was a great fight, yeah.
The choreography was good. I felt like it wasn't like a ridiculous Vin Diesel choreographed fight. Like this is like, I could see these guys having this fight.
Yeah. Like just and that goes scrapping. Back to them. Like they all did their own fighting, all their own stunts and stuff. So like they're actually in there just like punching and kicking and flipping each other over. And it felt pretty real.
I really like that's what makes this movie. I think if the fighting was horrible in this,
this movie wouldn't even watch. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Swayze can only do so much with it, but because he does his own stunts and scenes like this were really good.
Yeah, and it's a really even match, too, which helped make the fight. Because sometimes it's like, okay, our hero is obviously going to win. And, I mean, I guess you know he is going to win when he fights him here. But, like, he's getting the crap kicked out of him. He's bleeding. He's hurt. He's holding his arm. He's getting flipped over on the ground. Like, it's a really even fight.
Yeah.
So the movie is almost like a video game to me. It's like you kind of beat the henchmen, all the bums that they throw at you early. And then, like, this is like the boss.
You get the boss fight.
You work your way up to Wesley at the end. But yeah, that fight was one of the highlights of the movie.
That's a great reference though too, because you're right. That's exactly right. Like you're playing Mega Man, you know, yeah. And you're going through each henchman, and then this is the mini boss before you get to the bad boss. You know, that's great. So he fights this guy. They kill Garrett. Now he's gonna go to the house. So this is where like he's got his Mercedes or whatever, and he runs it through. And this is one of the ridiculous scenes.
Yes.
I thought this was one of the special effects. They did a little A-team style car, like it's
corkscrewing in the air, getting like, blown up. The guy shoots it in the air and it blows
it's
up.
It's running like the ground is flat and it's aiming for like a stone wall, right? So it gets to the wall and suddenly it jumps 10, 20 feet in the air, does a spin move, and then they shoot it again.
That guy just had a pistol or something. He just shoots and the thing explodes. Like,
right.
It was amazing.
Did you see the guy, the former bartender that they fired, you know, as they're all lined up and they're shooting at the car and he's got his shotgun? I don't know what he's doing. He's like shaking his hips. Like he's like kind of doing this like shimmy with his leg.
That guy's the worst through the whole movie. He gets fired in the first place because he's just openly pocketing money from the register.
Right.
And not only that, when he gets called on, he's like, yeah, so what? Like, what are you going to do about it? He comes back. He wants his job back because he's Wesley's nephew. So all the goons are there to kind of strong arm Tillman into taking him back.
Yep.
And like every time he fights, he just gets the shit kicked out of him. He's thrown through the window.
Such a trash character.
He's horrible. Yeah. He's the worst. He's not good at shooting. He's not good at fighting. Like if I was Wesley, I would be like, listen, I got a good thing going here. Like we're cutting you loose, kid. Like you're on your own.
Right, right. This is what I didn't get to, right? So they mentioned earlier in the movie how Wesley owns the police department, you know. How come he didn't have the police at his house? Like that's how cocky this guy is as a villain.
To, like, protect him from Dalton?
Yeah. Like, you know, you just killed his buddy, and now he's coming after you, and you have your six or seven henchmen that have been nothing but a bunch of slapstick
they were
comedians.
Due. He knows
right?
They were due. They've lost the previous 20 times. They can't beat him 21 in a row.
But they do. And yeah, and they don't, you know, the police don't show up to the end. And I love how the other town leaders or whatever that are had their businesses destroyed or whatever from Wesley, they show up and they're like, you know, I didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a pretty cool ending, you know, not very realistic, of course, but sweet justice.
What I love about the whole final scene is, so when he comes up there, when the car goes flipping through the air, everybody's just loaded to the gills. They got shotguns, hunting rifles, pistols. Swayze never touches a gun, I don't think, this whole movie, even a knife. He's just using his fists and his brain. And so it's like, how's he get, like, obviously these guys are a bunch of jokers, but how's he going to do this where they're all just, they're armed and dangerous. And he sends the car up, they blow it up, he infiltrates the house. It kind of, I wrote down here, it kind of becomes a horror movie at that point, except you're rooting for for Jason, essentially. Like, everybody makes the stupid decision to split up. So Swayze just picks them off one by one.
It's so true, though. You're right.
Yeah.
Why would you split up?
It's like you're in the house with the boogeyman. Like, why are you, like, you just stay in a circle with your backs to each other and your shotguns pointed out? And what's he ever going to do?
These guys think that I have a gun, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
No, you're right. They never learn that lesson.
And you have that spot with that one, the following the one guy through the house. And
yeah.
He keeps seeing all his dead buddies on the ground. Right? Like, oh shit, that's Jimmy.
And
oh,
at no shit, point, that- like, he just keeps on advancing. He's like, all right, I guess I'm going to get him. But, like, you think, oh, maybe regroup, maybe get out of the house. Like, obviously, this is not going well for us here. Everybody in town already knew his reputation, even before all the stuff that Dalton pulled off when he got into town.
Yep.
So it's like, this is the baddest dude. Why are you messing with this guy? You've pissed him off. He's here to kill you and your boss and your buddies. Like, that thought never goes through anybody's mind.
And how come they're not using walkie-talkies? That's what this movie is.
Anything,
like,
yeah.
You know, Johnny, check in. Come in. Johnny? Yeah. Johnny, you there? Johnny.
There's Johnny in a pool of blood. let me walk into that room to see what... Right. Maybe he's not there. I don't know.
Or I picture him being like, Johnny, you better not be looking at the girls in the pool. You know, you know, or something like that, right? Like, I can just see it. I can see it. Kind of a dumb ending. After that, because now he's skinny dipping in like a dirty lake. With
the
girl.
Very end. Let's go back just a minute because this is maybe we could do it now, like our favorite scene in the movie.
Okay, sure.
For me, it's this whole final going through the house, taking out Wesley and all his men.
Okay.
So he takes a bunch of them out, just like hand-to-hand combat. Some of them you don't even see. You just see their crumpled body laying there. He gets to the fat guy, and you get the polar bear that falls on him. And I couldn't think of anything except you've seen Austin Powers before.
Yeah,
there's the scene where the flattener thing is coming at the one henchman, and he just stands there going, "No, stop!" And he's there for like 15 seconds, and then the thing runs him over. That was this guy. Like, the polar bear is falling on him, and he's just like screaming, looking at it. He starts shooting at it.
Step to the right.
Just take a step. You're good. And he just gets crushed by the thing. He's under there. At the time, the first time watching it, I think the first thought would be, oh, he just died. The polar bear dropped on him, and he's dead now. You find out later, like, he's actually alive. He was just trapped under there. And then he gets to Wesley as, like, the final boss if we keep going with the video game.
Another bad one-liner, by the way, with the polar bear. And he's like, you two are meant for each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what? Like, what does that mean?
Like, you're big, the polar bear. I don't know. Yeah.
That was insult the polar bear. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know? But, yeah, he gets to Wesley. And this is where maybe we could talk about, like, as far as his qualities as a villain and maybe how he wasn't the perfect pick for it. Because Wesley says something when they get head-to-head, like I've been wanting to fight you. Like, he's just a little, yeah. Like, he's like 5'4" or something, this guy.
Yeah.
Swayze's destroyed all comers to this point. It's like, you sure you really want that fight? Like, just hand-to-hand combat? Like, you don't want to use your money, your power to just win this fight? Like, you want to just get in a room and one-on-one just defeat him? Like, that's not going to happen. Even with your, like, African spears you've got laying there and everything else. So, like,
Proficient with the spear, by the way. I'll give him credit.
Pretty good spear tossing, yeah. I'll give him that. But even so, yeah. That was never a fight he was going to win.
No.
But he's got some good one-liners. The one that he says, Swayze comes into the room where Wesley is, and he goes, I see you found my trophy room, Dalton. The only thing that's missing is your ass.
I didn't get that. Like, maybe your head would have been a better line.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't make any sense, but just definitely got a laugh out of me. And then, like, the way he dies is just so over the top and ridiculous, too. Like, all the town leaders other than him are there, like Red and Emmett and the car dealership guy who got his dealership destroyed by the monster truck. Yep. We didn't even talk about that. In broad daylight, they just drive a monster truck through everything
yep.
with a bunch of onlookers and bystanders and, Like, nobody does anything. Nothing happens. Like, it's so crazy.
They're cheering it on.
Yeah.
Like, they're entertaining. They're drinking popcorn.
Yeah, like,
popcorn,
wow, that's right? Sick. But, yeah, they all shoot him. And, again, Wesley is, like, this small guy, but, like, he's like, become this, like, uber villain guy. He gets shot, blasted with a shotgun in the chest. He does not go down somehow.
Right.
He gets ready to shoot again. He gets shot again. He doesn't go down. He gets shot a third time. He's basically just like bloody meat at this point. He's still on his feet. And then the final fourth shotgun blast puts him down. And you get this shot of him just like going right through the glass table.
Of course, the glass table in a perfect position.
Yeah. The best. Yeah. Just 10 out of 10. No notes. It's so good.
Yep. I love that. Yeah, a little goofy on the end, but so that's the movie in short, right? So let's jump into categories.
Yeah.
And let's start right with the villain scale, right?
Okay.
Now, while we're on Wesley, let's just continue with Wesley, right? So
sigh.
not a good villain, in my opinion.
Nah.
Like not like I gave him initially I had him as like a 3 and I bumped it up to a 4 because I liked how like cocky he was with some of his one-liners. Like the heads and tail thing was actually it was a great plan. You know, you're talking about choose your friend or your lover or whatever. And but the problem is like you didn't have them in the same room. Like you gotta put them in a cage. You gotta be.
He
Dr.
didn't have
Evil
either
here.
One of them at that point. That well, I want to talk about that too. So Garrett is there and he was fighting with the goons, and you can't just count on the goons to finish the job,
right?
And then Dalton leaves to go see the doc, and she's. Fine, she's not being held or anything. So, like, what was his... I don't understand what he was going
for. Yeah, his plan wasn't very good.
Yeah, if you watch Batman, like, the Joker has them tied up, suspended over a bridge or something when he makes this threat. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to his house and get him, and then I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to get her. Like, that wasn't very well thought through, so...
No.
He had the confidence, but not much else. I give him, like, a 2 or 3 on the villain scale. Like, he rates pretty low. I appreciate him for what he is. He's a hilarious character when you just look at it from a comedic lens. But
yeah.
As far as actual just villainy, like, being terrified of this guy, like, how tough he is to defeat, like, he's a chump.
Yeah.
He's not smart. He's not strong. He doesn't have a whole lot going for him. The people he hires are not very good at their job, so... Yeah, he's pretty low on the scale, I think.
Yeah, I bumped him to a 4 because I felt that from the perspective of the town, I thought like menacing was something.
That's true. They see him as that.
Everyone was afraid of him, right?
Yeah, no the one town's wanted, rating him a 9 or a 10. They don't know any
sure,
better.
Sure, but they didn't want to stand out to him, right? Is he willing to kill like he was? He's doing destruction to towns and houses. Like he didn't care. Like
exploding
he was going to kill
him.
He didn't. Pull Emmett out of the house before he set on fire. Like,
what did Emmett even do? Why did he do that?
Exactly.
That bothered me.
He must
Poor
have
Emmett.
Caught wind of their meeting where they were like, oh, we got to stand up to him and whatever. But same thing with the car dealership, right? Like you see them talking at Red's house and then next thing you know, they're crashing this dealership. Like, like that wasn't a public meeting. Like they just were talking in the guy's living room and suddenly is he bugging him? Like, I don't know. Like it just, it flowed together for the movie, but when you pick it apart, it didn't make any sense.
No, not at all.
Right? Like Wesley's not that smart to have those. He doesn't have little birdies everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, giving
them I'm interested to see, obviously you mentioned up top, like the remake is coming out and like, I feel like having Gyllenhaal in it kind of gives it an air of authenticity. Like he's always in good stuff. Like it's always watchable. It's always well put together. So I'm interested to see like, the writing in this movie is not why you show up. It's not the strong suit. So, like, is the plot going to be a little bit more coherent? Is there going to be a little more thought put into it? I'm interested to find out, but we'll see soon enough.
I think what we're going to get in the new one is you're going to see similarly great fight scenes because of Conor McGregor.
Gotta be.
And Gyllenhaal. Like,
and they've got him. And I should have said that. I like how you call him Gyllenhaal. That's the issue.
I'm definitely saying it wrong. But Jake G, you know.
But yeah, I know
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal, yeah.
There you go.
But I like Gyllenhaal. But I know the backstory for this one is he's a UFC fighter.
I believe so.
He gets hired to be a bouncer. I guess it's like after his career or whatever. That's about all I know. So like, yeah, they're definitely going to be like, all right, this is why he's such a good fighter. Like they give him a background that makes sense for that.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll see.
I'm expecting a good plot or excellent writing, but I'm expecting some good fight scenes.
It's just like this: give me good fight scenes, give me some one-liners, and I will go home happy.
100%.
Yeah.
And then villain scale, you're saying 2, I'm saying 4. Let's just call him a 3.
Sure, that's fair.
And that's where Wesley is in this because he does run the town. He does. he does have some sort of plan. He's just not very good at it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he had an end game.
A for effort.
Yeah.
F for execution. Yeah.
If you go through, like, he is willing to kill. He's a little menacing. I don't know if I'd say he's the smartest guy in the room, but compared to this town, probably.
Yeah.
So we'll give him credit fair. On that. But
it's a sliding scale.
And in the other town, he's not a villain. He's a chump. He's not the main boss.
He wears a white suit and hat around the whole time. That's not typical right. villain clothes. Like, you're not usually intimidated.
And what's
by
that girl doing with him in this too? I don't understand that.
Like, you see her at the one point. She like her face is all bruised up. She's doing yoga there when Dalton shows up for the meeting.
That's aerobics back in the
jazzercise in the... something. Yeah,
yeah,
something like that. But yeah, her. We haven't even really mentioned her. Julie Michaels, I know her name is. She's you love Point Break. She's the one that like beats the crap out of Keanu, like coming out of the shower naked, like she's naked and kicks the hell out of him.
Interesting.
During
interesting.
Like the FBI raid.
Yep. But she likes being topless. That girl. I'll tell you
I
that.
Guess. Yeah. I looked her up. She does a lot of stunt work actually, and nice. Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, her character, I don't really understand anything. She's going for it. She gets up and like strips on the stage at one point. That actually is one of the good one-liners that Dalton has in the movie. He's like, if you're going to bring in a pet, you got to keep it on a leash.
Yep. She says. Yep. Nice. And then she suddenly gets mad, like, I'm not his pet, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah.
But even the doctor. So the doctor is like his love interest. And part of me was like, you're a doctor. You're a beautiful doctor. Are you really going to go for like a bouncer? That's who you want. Right. To fall in love with, but at the same time, it's like, okay, it's Patrick Swayze. I get it. The ladies have fallen head over heels for him, so I'm willing to
She's
forgive that.
She's making some exceptions for the Swayze.
But then she gets angry at him and, like, basically wants to leave him because of why exactly? I don't know why. Like, because she had a past with Wesley, and, like, she's like, oh, he's going to hurt you or he's going to hurt me or something. And so just the fact that he's confronting him, like, upset her.
Yeah.
But then he goes and he kills all his men and kills Wesley, and she's like, "Yes, let's go skinny dip in the lake now. Like, I'm back all the way in.
I'm
with
good.
You.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
Good.
I didn't really understand that.
More of a dirty pond. More than
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if I'd want to get naked in there, but
yeah.
Beside the point,
I don't want to dip my feet in there. You know what I mean? All right, so let's do some. There's probably a lot of these because we've been talking about them, but so just unanswered questions about this plot line. One of my first ones was, how is the Double Deuce making any money, right? And we talked about that. Like, even if you happen to make a good money, you know, a couple of days of good, you know, good patronage and no fights, and then you have one fight that breaks the mirror and tables,
yeah,
money's gone again.
Your bartender is skimming off the top. Yeah. You're constantly having to replace all the fixtures and the mirrors and the glasses and everything else.
Yep.
You need to pay for a fence to protect your band, who you also presumably are paying to be there.
Like, true.
I don't know how they're making any money at all.
I don't understand where, like, these bad guys and these villains get their bad guys from. Like, you're West, like, is there like a, you know, I don't know. Like,
they didn't have Craigslist back then.
Right, putting that in the paper, been like, looking for some goons.
Well, I love how the guy that Dalton fires during his, like, employee meeting, he was the head bouncer before.
Yeah.
He fires him, and then he's like, all right, where else can I work in this town? Okay, I'm going to be a henchman for Wesley.
Yeah, that's it.
So you got nothing else. To that. Yeah, what was he saying? He's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? He's like, oh, you can always go to barber school.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one was like, ah, maybe not the best one-liner.
Yep. And then I think what this movie was missing was one of Wesley's people should have been like a corrupt sheriff. I feel like there needs to be a character in there that just...
He definitely existed, but yeah, you never saw him. Like, he's got the cops on his payroll and everything.
Yeah, I think that would have added a little more legitimacy to stuff. Like, you know, the things on the red shop goes on fire. And then they're like, hey, you going to press charge? He's like, well, we don't have any proof that it was him.
Yeah.
And then you know the sheriff sucks.
Maybe he goes and, like, strong arms at the Double Deuce. He's like, listen, don't mess with him. Yeah.
Right. And
they
could have
used a character
of that.
Like that.
Yeah. He's tossing mugs and, like, don't make me come around here. And he's tossing glasses on the floor. Like, he's a tough guy. You know, something like that, I think, would have added a little more depth to the...
Well, am I right in saying you don't actually see a police officer until Wesley gets blown away at the end, where they're all like, yeah, I didn't see nothing. Like, all the fights that happen, like, there's just misdemeanors and felonies happening by the dozens nightly this town, and you never see a cop. No one's ever there to break it up. There's never a siren, anything. I get they're on his payroll, but yeah, you really got to turn a blind eye to...
Yeah,
all this stuff.
Nothing. Not a cop in sight. Yeah, you only
the car dealership just in the middle of town.
Right,
broad daylight. It's like 3 p.m. They're just blowing through the thing.
So dumb. The Double Deuce. If you notice, there's no windows like, what kind of ventilation does this place have? Like, because everyone's in there smoking. There's no windows. There's no anything. Like, if the shots from the outside, there looks like castle windows, but it's all brick. Like, they're bricked up. So I was like, what is going on there?
Yeah, none of this is well thought out. It's
No.
I don't even know what to say about it at this point.
No. So you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, about how Swayze never touches a gun. He only touches a knife at the end, you know, just to kill the one guy, or two guys technically.
But. Right, that's right. He takes the knife out of Sam Elliott's chest and then uses it,
Stabs one, then throws it up in the balcony.
Yeah,
and then beautiful the guy falls. Throw.
Yeah, kills him instantly.
Pretty good, yeah. This was like an error, I think, where like if this movie's, and this is what we'll find out in the remake, because now people are always carrying guns. Like, people have, you know, carry license.
No
one's doing that in this. Like, you might have a pistol. Like, Wesley pulls out a pistol at one point. But other than that, until the final, like, the end.
Yeah, the goons are just going around with switchblades and Bowie knives and stuff.
Yeah, boots with the knives on the end. Like,
that guy comes in. That's another thing. Like, I guess maybe it could go under unanswered questions. Like, people just show up looking for fights. Like, the guy goes there. Like, Swayze identifies him immediately with his group. Like, oh, these guys are trouble. We're not going to let them in. And he's like, listen, like, we're closed. He's like, well, what are all these people doing here then? And he sees the knife or the blade in his boot.
Yeah.
He gives him the line. He's like, you're too stupid to have a good time.
Yeah.
And, like, every time there's an altercation, immediately somebody just pulls out a knife or something. It's like, you basically, like, oh, you insulted me. It's time to attempt to murder you. Like,
right.
What's the plan here?
Yep, but that's it, man. Guns were just not a common practice. Knives seem to be the go-to redneck weapon of choice.
Yeah, and I'm guessing the remake, it's going to be set in modern day because, like, UFC wasn't a thing back then. So I think it's going to be set now. So, yeah, it'll be interesting how they handle that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, I think, as odd as that sounds to say out loud.
No, I am too. I mean, maybe they'll do the same thing where, like, Gyllenhaal will stick a knife through the gas pedal of the car and send it flying over the wall and... Then they split up and takes them out one by one.
I really hope they pull a lot of the same, like, I hope he does the be nice speech. Like, is he able to do be nice, or are they going to switch it up a little bit? I wonder how much crossover we're going to get.
I feel like they'll have a lot of things that are the same, just like for fans of the old one. And...
Yeah. Anybody peak in this movie? I mean, besides everybody, as their only good movie?
Yeah, most of them weren't in big things other than Swayze, so this is a tough one to call. Swayze, like, he's right in the middle of his peak. I don't know if you want to... I don't think you'd say that Roadhouse is his peak. Like, Dirty Dancing was bigger. It did tons of business. Ghost is, like, beloved by a lot of people.
Let's rephrase it then, right? So, when you think of Swayze...
That's right. We always do this. I always go the wrong way.
What movie you think of when you think of Swayze?
I go Point Break, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. You the same way? Probably, right?
Yeah, because while I've seen Dirty Dancing, it's not my number one. Roadhouse is good, but not my best Swayze movie. Like, honestly, for Swayze, for me, Point Break would probably be it. But, I mean, I loved Outsiders. I loved Red Dawn. Like, these are movies that, you know, probably don't hold up as well today.
And those were more ensemble cast, too, like, where he wasn't totally the star of it. Like, I like Point Break. I feel like it has pretty much everything you get out of Roadhouse. Like, you got cool fight scenes, cool action. But it's actually, like, a really good movie. The plot is good. You got the whole, like, a little bit like he has with Sam Elliott here. He's got with Keanu, and we love Keanu. It's well established, so that's a big plus in that column. So, yeah, I think Point Break is the one we got to go with here.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then, honorable mention to the Saturday Night Live Chippendale sketch with Chris Farley. That when I think of Patrick Swayze, that is one of the first things that pops in my head because it's one of the funniest scenes ever.
All right, I'll give you that. I love it. So we mentioned Swayze does his own stunts, which makes this movie, you know.
He took a beating in this movie, too. I read he broke a couple ribs.
Oh, I'm sure.
The fight with, I forget his name now, like the chief henchman.
Yeah, Jimmy. We'll just call him Jimmy.
Jimmy, that's right. Yeah, he picked up like an actual log instead of a prop and nailed him, and he broke a couple ribs with it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he had like a knee injury. Yeah, they definitely got lumped up. I saw Sam Elliott was asked about the movie like years and years later. And he's like, yeah, there were no stuntmen. He's like, we got the fucking shit kicked out of ourselves every day in this movie.
I love it. So a little fun fact I saw about this was that the names of this movie are actually written about Westerns.
Yeah, like cowboy that? Names or something.
Cowboy names,
with the West. Yeah.
Yeah. So Wade Garrett is the more famous one for me because Pat Garrett is the one that shot Billy the Kid or whatever. So
yeah, Doc, like Doc Holliday.
Yep.
Wesley, he was supposedly like a famous bandit, John Wesley Hardin, I put it down. Yeah, that was a pretty cool little tidbit. Tillman was like a famous Oklahoma sheriff or something in the Wild West. So, oh, and Dalton's name, not exactly the same, but apparently the guy that wrote the movie, it was like a bar, a little dive bar, honky-tonk bar, whatever, that inspired him to write this movie. It was in Dalton, Georgia, and that's why he named Swayze's character Dalton. Nice. Was off of that. So, right. Yeah, some pretty cool little... I always like when they got little through lines like that.
Well, that's the like the director or the writer adding their own touch to it.
Yeah.
Maybe no one knows about unless they leak it, but otherwise, like, it's their piece.
Yeah.
You know, we'll call them the Tarantinoisms, if you will. You know what I mean? So what about your favorite scene or sequence in this? Which one do you like best?
Well, the first thing I wrote on this section is just every fight scene.
Okay.
I think my favorite is the final one where he's just going through everybody, but also the first night at the Double Deuce, everything that happens there. We didn't mention some of the over-the-top ridiculousness yet. Like, the whole thing of the guy with the large... chested woman. He's like, if you got $20, you can kiss him. Yeah. Like, the guy goes over and they could never do this scene today. That scene was insane. And he's just like squeezing and all this. And he's like, well, you gonna kiss him or what? And he's like, I would, but I ain't got $20. And for some reason, the entire bar starts to fight. There's like this altercation right. between these two guys results in an immediate like 90 person melee. I don't understand that, but I love it. There's so much craziness, like, and this is kind of the rewatching aspect of it. Like, you could watch that 5 times and catch something new every time. Like a woman getting backflipped off a chair, guys get like breaking a table with his face. Like, there's so many things happening at once that's a fun one to watch. But for me, yeah. I'd still go with the final one. What's your favorite though?
My favorite was when you first see Sam Elliott show up with the liquor.
Okay.
So he comes in and they, you know, it looks like Swayze's getting beaten or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just, you know, the two of them, just, you see them working together is great. And it's actually funny. I don't know if you caught this, right? So the head bouncer that got fired, Morgan was his name.
Yes.
Right. So he's basically knocked out from whatever. And the other bouncers all come out and then they're dragging him back inside to get him out. And they're like, hey, welcome back, Morgan. Like, they're talking shit to a guy who's passed out, you know. And it was just little things that I was like, what? Because I watch with closed captions, so I see it pop up on there. And I'm like, oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah. On that scene, one thing I want to mention, I couldn't stop laughing. So Sam Elliott shows up, and, like, the Wesley's goons are there. And one of them says to Sam Elliott, he's like, you want to fight Dickless? And Elliot's response is, I damn sure ain't going to show you my dick. And then the first thing he does, Elliot is just like, punch get on a knee and punch him in the dick. just like the triple dick there. That's some quality writing. I enjoy that.
On that same note, there's a couple of cool quotes in this movie that I think, you know, so I don't know. Do you have any favorite or particulars?
Oh, man, there's a long list here I got down.
Give me your top three.
Top three. All right. Yeah, I know I make a habit of just stealing everything, and then you're like, well, you took all of mine.
Give me three.
Let's see. We mentioned the, if you're going to have a pet, you keep it on a leash. Pain Don't Hurt is probably the favorite, like, simple one. Like, you could put that in, like, your high school yearbook if you wanted to. The early scene, I think it's right before the melee happens the first time at the Double Deuce. That one guy, he looks almost like Randy Quaid from Christmas Vacation.
He's just like laughing. Yeah.
And he's like, what do you, he sees like the pretty girl. He's like, what do you say me and you get nipple to nipple? does he think that pickup line is going to work? I don't understand
that. At the Double Deuce, that's actually the pretty standard go-to line.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's kind of what everybody's got. But I'll give my final one here. When they're asking about Dalton, he shows up and his reputation precedes him. And he's like, what's his story? And the guy goes, his story is you fuck with him and he'll seal your fate. I like that one.
Nice.
Like, that's all you need to say.
So one of them you've mentioned earlier, wherein the guy comes in with the boot when he's like, you're too stupid to have a good time. Like, I like that. That's good trash talk to me.
Yeah, you could reuse that one.
Yep. Not one of my favorite ones, but I was trying to count. I thought they said it more in the movie, but when they say to him, I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's at least 3 times. Like, Tillman says it, the doc says it, and at least one or two of the other bouncers.
The owner say it, his buddy says it, the Jeff Healy, the musician.
Yeah.
And then the
doc. Oh, that's right. He says it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I thought a couple of people said it later, but they don't. So, but the other one is when he's He's giving the be nice speech, and he's like, you got to be nice. And he's like, what if someone calls you a cocksucker? And he's like, what if they call my mama a whore? And he's like, is she? So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. And that's like we talked about, like he's the guy with the philosophy degree. Like he's not usually firing off the one line. He says about that, he's like, it's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response. It's like, right. who says that?
These guys that he's talking to, they don't know what a noun is.
No, right? They really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, not the one line as you hope for, but enough. There's enough out of this movie being having the cult following where that stuff stands out. You know what I mean? Like I said, pain don't hurt. I thought you'd be bigger. Those type of things. You could see this movie one or two times from 20 years ago, and you're like, oh, that's from Roadhouse.
You remember those lines,
yeah. Yeah, you just remember it. I think that's, to me, that overall, the writing bad, but when you hear those things, like that's the stuff that sticks. It gives it.
And we got to mention, I don't think either one of us is putting this on our favorite lines, but it's just one of the most wild choices to use this line when he's fighting Jimmy there at the end.
Oh, I had it on there.
Yeah. I used to fuck guys like you in prison. Like, what do you do with that? I would just be like,
I was like, yeah, he said that. And I was like, huh?
Yeah. what are you saying right now?
Like, could you not say that while you're standing behind me, bear hugging me?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That was an odd one. But yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Yep. All right. I had it on a maybe list over here, but there you go. Thanks for cracking that.
It'd be weird if we put it on our favorite list, but it does need to be mentioned.
As far as like bathroom break scenes in this, I thought there were a handful.
Anytime they're not fighting, like you could
pretty much
take a walk.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, so there's a lot in there. They could have shaved 15 minutes off this movie.
Yeah. And all the scenes with the doctor, I thought that was a little weak. That little whole side plot. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. She's all right. Like, I get why you put her in there. You got to have this connection, but it's like, you know, it was okay. It was
okay.
A lot of nudity in this movie too. A lot of boob shots everywhere. Yeah. You know, people skinny dipping in the pool. Like you said, in the bar scene, everyone's getting groped and thrown around.
Yeah, it's crazy. Know?
So it is what it is. So good as a teenager when I'm watching this, you get to see some nipple, but some foreign boob. You know what I mean? That's it, you know. What about a title? Do you think there's a better title than Roadhouse?
Usually I don't have an answer for this.
You have an answer today?
I got a couple, yeah.
Okay, this is
I thought Pain Don't Hurt could be a good one.
Okay.
But I thought an even better one would be The Cooler.
I had The Cooler on it, too.
Okay. High five.
All right.
I thought that would be a good one, because Roadhouse is good. It tells you, like, okay, they're at this honky-tonk bar or whatever. But, yeah, The Cooler, like, makes it about Swayze and his character and, like, instantly, like, oh, he's, like, gives him that respect and everything.
I had that as well, but I think the one problem with that is The Cooler is also a term used. I think there's a movie with William H. Macy.
Later, though. Yeah, yes, it's like a gambling movie. He's like the mush. Like, he just, everything he touches turns to crap.
Yep.
Yeah, I did think of that. But yeah, maybe that wouldn't exist, or they would have come up with a different title if The Cooler already existed for this. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, Roadhouse was solid.
Yeah.
So we talked about if it's a sequel, prequel, something like that. So we know they're doing a remake of this, which is what we're talking about here today. They did do, there is a Roadhouse 2 out there.
Yep.
It exists. Straight to VHS. DVD. Yep.
It probably was VHS, yeah.
Well, you know what? No, you're right. DVD, because it was 06 when it was released.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that late.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake Busey is in it. Will Patton, I saw.
So I guess it's the story of Dalton has a son. Like, that's where they were going with it.
Yeah.
So I've never seen it. I would probably like to see it just...
It's got to be so bad.
Just to complete this cycle here. You know what I mean? Okay. But I couldn't find it streaming anywhere, and I refused to pay for renting it.
Yeah. Right? No, so I don't blame you.
I'm not going to pay for
it. You got to use your money better than that.
Yep. Right. I'd rather throw my money down the toilet than rent that movie for it.
Yeah. And I also saw, well, not even saw, I remember this actually happened a few years ago. There was rumors of a remake happening with Ronda Rousey, like kind of gender swapping role. She was going to be in the Swayze role.
Yep.
I feel like I'm glad that didn't happen and we're getting Gyllenhaal now. Like, that's going to be bad. And they still got, like, the UFC tie-in with, A, that's where the plot is. That's what he is. But also Conor McGregor and Rousey. Like, you've seen the Fast and the Furious movies, right?
Yeah.
Acting's not her strong suit. I don't think that would have turned out.
She has
a
couple movies out where she, like, she doesn't blow anybody away.
Yeah. Right? She's good at the fighting, so it probably would have been in the same vein as this one.
Was she the ladies' champ at that? That was 2015, I think, when they were talking about this movie.
Yeah, that's when she was still on top, I think, before she went to wrestling and all that.
Yeah.
She was, like, kind of invincible.
If you think about how, like, WWE stars made it from, like The Rock, John Cena, like, you know, you see them move from entertainment sports to acting, and they pull it off. Like, the good ones pull it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they were trying to do that same thing with her. We're going to find out if McGregor can pull it off because this is his first move.
Well, I'll say I am not a fan of Conor McGregor, but he plays that villain role so good that, like, I've gotten a couple of the UFC pay-per-views that he's been in just because I want to root against him. Like, that's how much I don't like him. So I think he might have that same effect on this movie. Like, people are going to show up just because they want to see him get the crap kicked out of him. So yeah. That's a positive in my book. I'm excited to see him in that movie.
I think he's going to play a good heel.
Oh, God, you know?
Like, that's going to be
He's so evil. He doesn't care.
I hope he brings it. I hope he brings it. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck. And he's just going to be like, this is what I do. Stop me.
Yeah, whether he's a good actor or not, all he's got to do is just play that, like, swaggering kind of bad guy. He's just beating people, throwing them over the rail. Like, I think it's a nice fit. I think it's going to be good.
Say some cool, like, Irish shit.
Oh, yeah.
Just you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he could. Great. I have no idea his acting ability. I don't think he's acted in anything before. But, I mean, a lot of
persona. He's a showman.
He's a showman. It kind of is like performance. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be a pretty fun time at the movies.
I was trying to see anyone else they tried casting for this movie. So initially for the doctor, they had Annette Bening.
Yes.
Was supposed to be there. And I guess she had no chemistry with
Swayze. Yeah, apparently Swayze maybe told the director or producer, like this isn't working. I've seen Annette Bening in a few things, and she's a good actress. But yeah, like, she's probably too good for this role. Yeah.
Because she's done better things. So like
she's nominated for Best Actress right now for that NIAID movie, like The Swimmer.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, she's been nominated before. She's a real good actress. So.
I liked her in The American President.
Yep.
Like, that was a good role.
She's in that. She's in American Beauty. She's really good.
There you go. Yep.
If this was American Roadhouse, maybe she would have been.
So, and also Jimmy Reno, by the way, that's the henchman.
Okay.
You know, Jimmy Sharktooth or Jimmy, I meet guys like you in prison, right? He was initially supposed to be played by Scott Glenn. You ever seen Silverado?
No.
If you see Scott Glenn, you'd know him. I think he's
like a Western.
Silverado's a Western.
Okay.
He was an older version of him. He was Stick in Daredevil.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So I don't know where he was at in 1989, to be honest. I don't know why they cast this other guy instead.
Yeah.
But this guy was definitely like more of a menacing bad guy.
Yeah, he played the role well. He had that crazy laugh. Yeah, all the pool cue, kung fu, whatever he was doing with it.
Yeah, so he did good. I'm fine with this guy. I mean, clearly he's not a lifelong actor because you don't see him in anything else. But
you know what they needed? They needed one like giant guy for Patrick Swayze to take down. One of the henchmen was kind of tall, but he didn't really get any screen time at all.
One guy showed up at the liquor scene.
Yeah, and you never he see was really him. Tall. You never see him again. Yeah. But yeah, they needed just like a 7 foot tall beefcake guy, so you can really see like, oh, this is how good a fighter he is. He took this guy down.
Yeah.
It was always like a bunch of just regular Joes for the most part. He was beaten up.
Bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
So as far as the music goes, we mentioned the Jeff Haley Band plays in it. Perfect music for this honky tonk setting.
Yeah, it's got like Texas. I know it's in Missouri, but like that bluesy kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point they walk in and he's doing a cover of Roadhouse Blues, and it was good. Like, I'm a big Doors fan, so like I'm listening to it. I'm like, it's a little alternate version of it the way he does it, but it worked out. But yeah, do you ever listen to Jeff Haley's music? Like, you know any of his
not
songs?
Outside of this? No, it's good though. I mean, I'd be
yeah. Down. If you listen to it, you'd probably recognize more songs than you think you would.
Okay.
So we're adding a new category today. This is a Terrence category that we've talked about in other things. This is going to be the leaps of logic, right? And this is, we can work on the name or how it's supposed to sound, right? But I think in this movie, we were saying earlier how there's no special effects. There's not a lot of like crazy stuff going on here. I've already talked about the one that I think it would be, and that was the car that's somehow corkscrewing over a wall for some reason. But other than that, I mean, you tell me, I didn't see anything crazy. I mean, maybe a fire scene, which requires...
But if you're just confining it to, like, special effects, that's one thing. But, like, the leaps of logic in this movie, it's, like, everywhere. It's, like, why... How does everybody know this guy that's just a bouncer? Like, it's impossible to be that famous just being a bouncer. You're in New York, and this guy in Missouri flies all the way to New York just to hire you because of your reputation. Like, what could he have possibly done? Did he, like, put down, like a riot? What? I don't understand that. We didn't quite mention it yet, but when he leaves New York, I have no idea why or how, what happens, if this makes sense. He, like, tosses his car keys to, like, a homeless guy, and then he gets in a different car and goes. There's no explanation given for that. I don't understand what that.
It's the same thing he does in this town. He goes when he buys a shitty beater,
right?
So that no one touches his Mercedes.
Okay, that's fair. I guess.
So maybe like you see him do that, and then when he gets to town, he buys that old car.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, to do the same thing.
Yeah, so. But yeah, lots of leaps of logic in this one. We talked about the final scene where it's kind of like a horror movie. Like you spend a lot of time in a horror movie, like, oh, don't go up the stairs. Oh, why are you doing that? Don't go towards the killer. They're doing all these things. They're just like, they split up for no good reason. Swayze's coming for him, and it's like, that you're not putting any thought into what
he's
you're
doing.
He's a
ninja in this. Like,
he is,
no
yeah.
footsteps. He just shows up as the camera pans, and now he's behind you.
If like you see him, it's Freddy already Kruger. Too late.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, just we talked about the lack of a police presence in this movie, the monster truck scene.
Yep.
Multiple buildings are on fire and explode. Nobody does anything about it. Like, there's got to be some kind of limit to, like, how much money is Wesley paying the police department to keep them off his back? How is he still profiting, even with taking all the money from all the citizens? Like, I can't imagine he's just slipping them, like, $1,000 every month, and they're just turning a blind eye to six-figure property damage and right. multiple murders and beatings. And like, so I don't understand how the numbers – I'm no accountant, but I don't think the numbers jive on that.
And why would he burn down Red Shop?
He's profiting off of it, yeah. That's just to make like, a statement?
Yeah, now you're not making your 10%.
Yeah, we never see some, like, bustling downtown area here. Like, there's just a couple – it's just a hole-in-the-wall town. The population is probably, like, 1,000 people. Like, yep. if you take out one of the major businesses, like, you're really affecting your bottom line. Like, is it really worth it to make a statement
right.
to do that? So, yeah, Wesley, I don't understand what he's going for with all that.
Yeah, I don't either. Otherwise, that was – the leaps of logic is more of, like, the nitpicks, I guess, if you will. So we'll kind of blend that into the scene.
Yeah,
so
that works.
That's what you're getting
but
at
yeah,
there.
This movie has got a lot of them, for sure.
Yeah. But other than that, I thought it was pretty solid. As far as things that maybe we missed in this movie, the stuff that I had down, like, we talked about a little bit, like the mountains in the background, things like that. The only other thing that I noticed in it was the appearance by the one black guy that shows up in the movie.
Keith David. Yeah, he's like the best actor in this whole movie, and he's on screen for 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's got like one line.
He's the
like,
new bartender.
We're running low on whiskey.
Yeah, he tells him like Wesley's kind of withholding the liquor from him, and that's it. But yeah, Keith David's amazing. I'll tell a little story about him real quick. I don't know if you are on Letterboxd. Do you know what that is? Like, you can kind of log the movies you've seen. You can make lists of like things you want to watch. It's kind of like a social media movie site. It's kind of fun. You can go on and review them.
Do you have a profile? Should we link your profile so people can
maybe
check
we will.
Out
yeah, Terrence's maybe. I like to write little reviews when I watch movies.
Okay.
But they do almost like Spotify Wrapped or something. Like at the end of the year, they send you a thing of like, oh, here's everything you watched. And 2 years ago, it was so random. And I was like, oh, that's so odd. It tells you the director and the actor that you watched the most of their movies that year. And my most watched actor was Keith David somehow. And I was like, how's that possible? But he's in everything. Like, you don't even realize he does a lot of voice work.
He has over 300 credits.
He's in so many things. He's in Something About Mary. He's in The Thing. He was in Nope, I think the year that came out, the Jordan Peele movie. He was in that. He was the father that kind of gets killed early on. He's in so many things. And it said, like, I'd watched, like, 6 Keith David movies that year. I was like, I never would have guessed that.
That's
that
fantastic.
Was my most watched actor, yeah. I'm always happy when he shows up.
Let's create one for the double take, and we'll only
we
do
should.
The movies
we could
that
put
we
a
review,
list.
And then we'll have a list of everything.
Yeah, I'm down. I'll set it up.
Done. I just recently watched Men at Work.
Okay.
With, Charlie Sheen and Estevez, and he's in that.
Oh, really? Okay. He really does pop up so many times.
He just pops up everywhere. And that's why, as soon as I saw his face, I had a pause, and I'm like, I know this guy. Like, what's he in? And then I looked him up. And like you said, I'm looking at all these names of movies. I'm like, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't realize.
And he's one of those guys, like, he's got a lot of movies where he's got a big role and he's great with it, like where he's right there with Kurt Russell in The Thing.
Yep.
But then there's a lot like this. I mean, this, he gets no screen time. You can't even count this, really. But, like, he'll just show up for a scene or two and, like, that's all you see him. But that movie American Fiction that came out, it's like nominated for Best Picture. It's really good. Jeffrey Wright movie. He's in that for just like one or two scenes, and he's really good. And every time it's like, yes, Keith David.
He was
good
in,
choice.
He was in Armageddon. He was.
I love Armageddon. I'm trying to picture where.
Yeah, small role because it was a big cast. He was a military guy in Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. In the room there, like the mission control, that whole thing. Yep. Yeah. Man. Yeah. See?
So he just shows up. He's great.
Love that guy.
All right. Well, he's the He's the diamond in the rough in this movie. Like, who knew we'd spend 5 minutes talking about Keith David?
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe they'll have him be the bartender in the new one. We'll see him pop up again.
How awesome would that be?
That'd be amazing. I would love it.
Yeah.
He's still
like,
doing it.
I knew Dalton once, like if they make a reference and he worked at the Double Deuce.
We're
like,
still low on liquor.
What a great tie-in that would be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know what? That they need to make that happen.
Yeah.
Anything else for you? Did we miss anything?
No. I mean, I love this movie. I think this is one of those movies where, like, a lot of the movies we like are in this same vein where it's like, it's not going to be a critical darling. It's not even necessarily going to be a big box office smash. But like, this is just pure entertainment. If you look at movies as they're meant to entertain you, these are the kind of movies we love. Is you got the fight scenes, you got all kinds of craziness happening. I'm in. So yeah, Roadhouse rules.
I agree. All right. Well, thanks everybody for checking out The Double Take. This was Roadhouse. Be sure to check us out on any and all social medias and whatnot. Share with a friend. That's really helpful. And all right, we'll see you next time.